Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible.
This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay them, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King, Locked On, trying to get the 18th ring. Let's get it. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today it's me, your boy Jay King from MassLive.com with Sam Jam Packard the Great. The saga has finally ended. The trade that was agreed to a week ago will finally become official. The Celtics didn't have to add too much to it, just a 2020 second round pick, according to multiple reports out there. So kind of good news for the Celtics, I guess, even though they had to add something extra to the deal. It wasn't much, Sam?
It's nothing at all. Like the trade just happens, but it's just more frustrating for, like, really, Kobe Altman? Like, really? You did this? You try to run this BS for a week and all you end up with is a second-round pick? It's just, it's nonsense. And my conspiracy theory is that it's just Adam Silver ordered this. He wanted the NBA to stay relevant for as long as it could. They made it almost all the way to September. The entire month of August, they got new news stories. I'm glad it's finally over, and now we can start talking about, like, what the Celtics are going to look like next year. Because of all this nonsense, it's just been a debate about whether or not the Celtics should give anything more up. But now we can actually focus on the fact that Kyrie Irving, solid basketball player, is going to be a Boston Celtic next year.
Yeah, and through the whole process, I really thought it was most unfair to Isaiah Thomas. Like,
oh yeah,
like everyone's just dragging his physical condition through the mud, saying, you know, he's damaged goods, this and that. He had to come out and say, I'll be fine. I might have to miss some time, but no doctor has told me that I'll be any worse of a player when I get back. So he might be the biggest loser in all this because now there is that stigma around him. You know, he's already had the 5'9 thing his whole life that he burst through and became second team all NBA, but now he's going to be a free agent next summer, and he's got this stigma now. Because the Cavs are saying, you know, the physical was worse than we thought, and we needed to have more added to the trade. So his value is going down. Now, obviously, other teams will be able to look at his physical examination at the time. He'll have time whenever he gets back this season to prove himself again. But what happens if he comes back and averages like 20 or 21 points, and he's a 29-year-old, 5'9" free agent with a hip issue? He's the one I feel the worst for out of all this. I really hope, like, he deserves his money. He's been so underpaid for so long. I really hope that dude does get the Brinks truck backed up because he's worked like hell. He was a great Celtic, man. Like, he embraced everything the organization wanted from him, whether it was, you know, working off the court, going out recruiting players, just being a solid guy on and off the court. Just really a tough bastard too. Really brought an attitude to the Celtics that they just had a chip on their shoulder. And I think part of that was because of him. Part of that was because of Jay Crowder, two guys that they're going to miss. So hopefully this won't impact Isaiah Thomas long term. Hopefully he can come back and play great basketball for Cleveland. Shit, he could be balling out in the finals in 9 months, you know?
Yeah, that's the one reason it did suck for Isaiah, but this guy lives his entire life with a chip on his shoulder. So if you're going to just give him more, add more fuel to that, I just like think it's in his personality to come back and be that much better. He's going to use that to just grind the entire season. I think he's going to be damn good playing off the ball with LeBron James, probably the greatest passer and playmaker in the game right now. I think the Cavs are actually going to be pretty dangerous. And you mentioned Jay Crowder. I thought he was the exact kind of person, a 3-and-D guy that they can add to the rotation because they lack depth next year. So, yeah, I mean, it sucked for them, especially kind of sucked for Jay with his mom dying on like the same day the trade initially came out and then having to be put through all this limbo. But where it's over now, people know where they're going. Jay Crowder's working out in full Cavs gear. Isaiah is playing as the Cavs on 2K. You know, everyone's kind of accepted their fate, so now we can move on to a Boston Celtics team that looks drastically different than it did last year. Only 4 returning players. Terry Rozier is your second longest tenured Celtic. Wild times. And I don't know what to expect from this Celtics team, both on the court and off the court. One of the things, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a lot more moving forward, is how does this team mesh together? It feels like the offense is clearly there. You're going to have Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, 2 great playmakers, ball handlers, do stuff that's just create offense pretty much on the wings with Al Horford in the high post. I just think their offense has the potential to be amazing. But then there's also comes in questions on the defensive end. But I guess my question is, how do you think Kyrie Irving fits into the kind of the Brad Stevens system, and what is this Celtics team going to look like moving forward?
Yeah, I think that's the big unknown, right? Like, what?
That's why we're here to break it down.
What is Kyrie Irving going to be? I think to me, the Celtics offseason with the Jason Tatum draft pick and then the Kyrie Irving trade, it seems like the Celtics are like those guys are both isolation scorers. They're fantastically skilled isolation scorers. They're very great isolation scorers. But in a lot of ways, they have bad habits. And I think in a lot of ways, this summer has been a bet on Brad Stevens to teach Jason Tatum, like, it's not always best to settle for mid-range fadeaway jumpers. And to teach Kyrie Irving, like, you can be a great scorer. That's fantastic. You'll always be a great scorer. But you're going to need to do more for everybody else now. And I think a lot of that is on Brad to help those guys develop and bring those guys to another level and unleash them as like team basketball playing guys. And we got a question on Twitter from Daddy Dusky. He said, anyone else think the lack of chemistry left on this roster is going to be a big problem? I think that's a valid concern. And I say that partly because the Celtics lost 3 absolutely great like team players in Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, and Jay Crowder, who were like super hard.
Don't forget about the big dog.
And the big dog, like, but those other guys, I would say were more of the identity for the Celtics. They were the tough, like chip on their shoulder guys who always wanted to prove people wrong and all like embraced every competitive challenge. And not to say Amir Johnson wasn't like that, but the other guys were just like pit bulls. And the Celtics, they don't have that anymore. Or it's not obvious that they have that anymore. And obviously Marcus Smart is like a legendary competitor, but what is Kyrie Irving going to do? Is he going to come in and think, you know, I've already played in 3 straight finals. I've done all these things in the finals. I don't need to prove myself anymore. Is he going to come in and say, there are still a lot of doubts about me. I need to come in and prove those wrong. I don't know. And I think to me, one of the biggest questions for the Celtics will be how Kyrie fits basketball-wise. Another of the biggest questions will be, how does this team form, like, personality-wise, when a lot of the guys that made them who they were, that tough, like, dogged, determined team, are elsewhere now. And now they're relying on a lot of rookies, a lot of young guys, a lot of unproven guys. And then a guy like Kyrie, who has done a bajillion things in his career, who has accomplished so much, but has never been considered like that type of player. So they're going to have a very different identity, I think, and a very different personality than they had last year. And maybe that's okay, but it is, to me, a concern.
Yeah, the problem is that none of these guys are really known for strong personalities or like their, I don't want to say leadership, because I think there's many different kind of leadership styles, but with the team last year, Isaiah had all the personality in the world. Jay Crowder, you're right, Avery Bradley, there was like, they're kind of the tough, hard-nosed guys, and that's who the identity of the team was. But now with all the new players, all the young players, and then you add Kyrie Irving, who everyone talks about being like kind of in his own world, likes to keep to himself. Gordon Hayward, who I just don't think has much of a personality and just enjoys gaming. Al Horford, it sounds like he's a good guy in the locker room, but he's not going to be like the main personality on the team. I just don't know what this like Celtics team, like who do they take after? Who's going to be the one to hold each other accountable? It felt like Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder were the type of guys who would not be afraid to like speak up if someone's not doing their role. I just don't know how that works out in this locker room with so many new guys. Is it Marcus Smart who stepped forward and is like, this is the way the Celtics play basketball? Is it entirely on Brad Stevens? We have no idea. And just like, if anyone is in need of like a fun preseason trip where the team can bond, maybe like a montage, like this team needs something, because there needs to be some sort of personality. Because right now I just have no idea what it's going to be like. It's like a bunch of good, very good talents. But in terms of personality, your job going into the locker room after before and after each game, it just got a lot worse. It's gotten a lot more boring.
Yeah, Isaiah was perfect for the media, man. He was always accessible, always honest, always like terrific. From our standpoint, that's a huge hit. I don't know what Kyrie's like with the media, but it would be tough to be as open and good as Isaiah was with us. But obviously the listeners don't give a shit about the media. I don't think the listeners give a shit about the media.
They don't care about the media, but they still want some players. Like Evan Turner was a god in this town just because he said silly shit from time to time. Like, there's got to be some like stories coming out of the locker room. They're not just basketball centric. Like maybe Brad Stevens, Corrales has been talking about this a bunch. Like he's letting his kind of sarcasm come out. Maybe he takes it up and just starts answering questions about his personal life, or start like giving political hot takes just to take the pressure off these guys to be somewhat entertaining. But I don't know where it's going to come from. I think they need something. I'm really like want to send them away to like summer camp. Maybe the Rome that worked for the 2008 Celtics. They need something, because I don't know who the personality on this team is.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Marcus Smart, I think he'll be a leader in his own way. I think Al Horford will be a leader in his own way. But there are holes there, and there's just so many new faces. And I think at the heart of it is, how does Kyrie Irving fit, like personality-wise, and then – basketball-wise, I was talking about this on the last podcast with John. Like, we just don't know what he's going to be like without LeBron. Last time we saw him without LeBron, he was like 22 years old and not totally formed. He's still not totally formed, but he's grown up a lot since then. Last year, like in the minutes without LeBron, he was an unconscionable chucker, like beyond Russell Westbrook type chucker last year. And is that going to fly in Boston? I don't think Brad allows that to happen, and that's a good thing. I think they'll use him in a lot of the same ways they use Isaiah, but can he adapt like Isaiah did? Or is he going to be set in his own ways and say, I've been to three straight finals, I've done this, I've done that, I've been on USA Basketball, I don't need to change? Or will he be comfortable adapting to the way the Celtics need him to play, which is he needs to lift everybody up now. And he has a perfect chance, the chance he wanted, the chance that obviously he wanted to embrace when he decided to ask for a trade from LeBron James's team. He wanted place like Boston, where he could show everything he can do. And everything he can do doesn't – it needs to be more than just scoring now. It needs to be, you know, lift the entire offense when you're out there, which is what Isaiah Thomas did. Every time Isaiah Thomas was on the court, the Celtics scored. And they scored and they scored. Obviously, he had defensive issues. But scoring was never, ever a problem when Isaiah Thomas was on the court. And scoring was a problem for the Cavs when Kyrie was on the court and LeBron James wasn't. And there are a lot of things that will change. Like, the system will be built around Kyrie now. The Celtics will have, obviously, a very different system, I think, than the iso-centric Cavaliers offense. But there's just so many unknowns to this team. And we haven't even started talking about, like, Jason Tatum. What the hell is he going to do as a rookie? Jaylen Brown. What the hell is he going to do as a second-year pro? Like Semi Ojeleye, who might now be needed as a small ball four because Jay Crowder's not there anymore. And obviously Marcus Morris can play small ball four, but I don't know if Brown and Tatum can handle a lot of minutes at that position. So there's just like a lot of unknown right now about this Celtics team. And it feels like Brad Stevens, like, he's got a hell of a job. Hell of a job in front of him. He's got this is gonna have to be his best coaching job yet, because there are so many pieces he needs to figure out.
The thing that's interesting about Kyrie is that he's probably the best isolation player in all of basketball right now. Maybe you give that title to Kevin Durant just because he's so much taller, but it's kind of tough to ask a star player to get away from the thing that he does better than everyone else. So it's going to be interesting to see, you're right, how he fits into the system. As for kind of the scoring, I think the addition of Gordon Hayward kind of gets lost in all the kind of the saga and the drama of the Kyrie trade, is that Gordon Hayward was kind of brought in to be that secondary scorer. So hopefully, ideally, you would stagger Kyrie and Gordon Hayward so there's not this kind of lull in offense and you can still have another all-star caliber player to kind of create offense. I don't think offense is really going to be the biggest issue for the Celtics. I just think they have too much talent to kind of score. They're naturally going to get the ball in the hoop. It's the kind of the defense, the intangibles, the other things where you worry, because right now they don't really have a lot of great rebounding. Kyrie hasn't been known as to be like the best defender, as some guy who really like fights through screens or really cares on defense. That's where you want to see the kind of the Brad Stevens coaching. But right now it's the defense and the rebounding that is questionable. Who do you think is going to end up starting? Like, what do you think the starting lineup is on opening night for the Celtics?
I got to give a shout out to somebody, Aaron Strampack at Cowan's Hondo, asked, is Jaylen Brown likely to start if the Kyrie deal goes through? So we'll give him a shout out for that question. Obviously Kyrie, Hayward and Horford are in the starting lineup. I think Marcus Morris starts now with Jay Crowder gone. And they could go big with Baines. They could go smaller. They could go Marcus Smart. They could go – but I think you'd rather have Marcus Smart run your second unit and be like that energy off the bench. They've always loved bringing Marcus Smart in as a sixth man, because of just the energy change he brings. So I think he comes off the bench. Jaylen Brown has a chance to start. I think Jason Tatum might have a chance to start. And those guys are really exciting. They're really young. And Brown would need to really take a step forward to adequately replace what Jay Crowder brought. And I know a lot of fans out there, or some fans out there, misguided fans, couldn't see what Jay Crowder brought, but he did a lot for the Celtics, and he was solid and he was reliable. And young guys, as a rule, aren't. So Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, there's just going to be a lot on their shoulders. I think they go with Brown, I would have to guess.
So you think Brown and Morris are the other two? I would agree with you. I think Brown makes sense. It feels like they're, especially when Brad Stevens said on the Mannix podcast, there's kind of a lot of pressure on him to step up defensively. And I think he's really going to try to shoulder the load of what, I mean, obviously he can't replace Avery Bradley's defense, but they were asking him specifically to guard ones and twos and use his length and athleticism. And I think he's he's going to get the nod to start. And I also think that Aaron Baines might be the starter. And I think he's going to play as like an Amir Johnson type role where he plays like the first 6 minutes of the first and third quarters. Depending on how effective he is, he gets in kind of sparingly the rest of the games. I just think Al Horford has this mindset where he doesn't want to be a five, and to kind of start the game with a more traditional lineup with Horford at the four.
But how can he have that mentality now after what he did playing a lot of five in the playoffs and having like this playoff run?
Kevin Garnett like maintained that he wasn't 7 feet when he was like 7'2". I feel like basketball players have some like weird stigmas and stuff attached with things. It's just something that like he wants to be known as a four. So if you can trick him into believing he's a four to start the game and then finish the lineups where he's at the five, I mean, that's what you do. Can you explain why Amir Johnson started pretty much like 80 games last season?
Because he's tall.
So is Aaron Baines.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Baines starts. Although if you start Baines, like who's the backup five?
His name's Gershon Yabusele. That's the problem, is their big rotation right now is basically three players. They don't have a backup five. I guess the only two fives, here's where you want Horford to basically play the five because that makes Baines the backup five. But in terms of true bigs, it's Morris, Horford, and Baines. And how much can you really rely on Shemi and Yabusele to play serious minutes?
I'm telling you, man, I feel like Ojale is going to have a legitimate role. And that
Shemi over Gershon?
I think Ojale is better equipped to contribute as in this year than Yabusele is. And somebody, I think it was Bobby Manning. My man Bobby Manning tweeted asking what we thought Yabusele might do. But I just think that Ojale, he's super solid defensively. Like, he doesn't make mistakes. Brad came out in summer league, which was totally out of character for Brad, and said that Ojale could be one of the better defenders for the Celtics this season. So obviously they have a lot of trust in him in that way. And in a lot of ways, I think he has potential to become like the next Jay Crowder type, where he can guard twos, threes, fours. He can shoot threes. He's strong. He's physical. He's tough. He's smart. He seems like a plus human being, which isn't the most important thing when you're on the basketball court. But he's like super reliable type of guy who I think Brad Stevens will appreciate that about him. So, and he can play stretch four. Like, I don't know if Jason Tatum is strong enough to do that as a rookie. Jaylen Brown, I don't know if he's solid enough with defensive rotations to get away with him much at the four. So I think Ojale is going to have a solid role. I think they're going to need him to play, and I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But this is a young squad, and their front court is very shallow. I'd be surprised if they don't use that 15th roster spot to add some sort of size. Obviously, Thomas Robinson worked out for the Celtics this a few days ago, and Andrew Bogut, they've been in contact with him. So I'd be very surprised if they don't find some sort of size. And Yabusele, I just don't think he's ready defensively. But maybe I'm wrong. He's got a really intriguing offensive game, but defensively, I just don't think he's there. I watched a lot of him when he was with the Red Claws, and by a lot of him, I mean like he was only there for like four games. But I watched them, and I just don't think he's ready defensively to kind of step in right away and make an impact.
Brad's going to have a lot longer leash with the younger players in terms of mental mistakes and defensive mistakes, because we saw games last year where Jaylen Brown didn't play like entire second halves after like missing an assignment or messing up a 2-for-1 or something like that. So
remember when he got yanked on the first play of the game after starting?
Exactly.
That was my favorite moment of the year, I think.
So there's like, so is Brad going to do like, you can't really yank your eighth, ninth, or your seventh, eighth, ninth guys off the bench. Like, you can't just like cripple your team like that. They're going to have like a lot of young players getting significant minutes, and you just like, it's going to be very interesting to see how Stevens handles that, because like you said, they're going to be relying on Shemmy. They're going to be relying on Jason Tatum. They're going to be relying on Jaylen Brown for serious minutes. If they make mistakes, you just go kind of let them learn, like let them take their punches and move on. You're still trying to win basketball games. And
what are you supposed to?
Very interesting.
Who are you supposed to turn to? Like, it's just another rookie. You know, it's like you can't. It almost seems like they put together this roster to take away all opportunity for Brad to lean on veterans. It's like, oh, you were starting Gerald Green in the playoffs, huh? Well. Now there's no more veterans to start, Brad. Like it's gonna be rookies and it's gonna be second year guys. It's gonna be all youngsters,
and that gets back to the personality point, the identity point is like, who are the veterans like showing all like this gaggle of rookies what to do and like how to like establish a work ethic? I'm sure Hayward and Irving and Horford like they come in and they get their business done, but like. There's still kind of a team dynamic there, and you still would want more veterans than rookies. But with like such a younger team, how does that kind of manifest itself? It's going to be interesting. This Celtics season, not that it wasn't going to be interesting, but it definitely got a lot weirder this offseason.
It's so bizarre. And now, like, I think earlier this summer, I was very confident. You know, the Celtics would win around 50 games, probably more. Now there's just so much overhaul. There's so much youth on the roster. And they're going to need to be relying on so many young guys, so many new faces. They have a lot of talent. They have a ton of talent, a lot of skill. I have no idea. Like, there's a wide range, I think, of what the Celtics could do this year and how many games they could win, how competitive they will be. And obviously they'll be competitive, but, like, truly competitive. Like, are they going to push Cleveland? Are they going to take a step forward and maybe become more of a challenger? Those are the things I don't know. There's just so many unknowns, so much youth, just a lot of shit going on with this team. Just a lot of shit going on. We got a few other questions here. One from Keith Way at Keith Waves. Do you think Kyrie will be hell-bent on silencing his critics by becoming more of a playmaker next season? I'll give this one to you, Sam.
You would think so. You think you like anyone who's kind of competitive, he's going to hear all the storylines about him leaving LeBron, him being selfish. He definitely hears about him just being a one-on-one player. You would hope that that's like he's a chip on his shoulder guy like Isaiah Thomas was. I don't know. I don't know enough about Kyrie's personality. It seems like he's pretty driven and has pretty gotten himself to this point of just playing basketball. So you would imagine coming into a system like that and working with Brad Stevens, he's going to be pretty determined to kind of, one, impress his new coach and play with all these, I guess, talented teammates and show that he is capable of leading a team and he's not just Robin to LeBron's Batman. But so I don't know. I don't know Kyrie Irving. He believes in some real shady stuff, so I can't really get a read on his personality.
Yeah, we'll see, man. There's just a lot going on. A lot of X factors. A lot of variables with this squad. A lot of variables. Variables everywhere, man. Like can Kyrie become an MVP type candidate? I think it's within the realm of possibility. Do I think it will absolutely happen? No, but he could, and he could average like. He could be absurd. He could be fantastic. Gordon Hayward could take a step forward. Al Horford could be playoff Al Horford for the whole season. Like, but how much will they miss Isaiah Thomas? How much will they miss Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, all their veterans that played so many minutes, Jay Crowder? It's a totally different team. And really, even Kyrie, we don't know what to expect anymore because he's not with LeBron James. And obviously, he's still going to be fantastically talented. He's still going to be a great isolation scorer. But he's going to need to totally change the way he plays to be successful and to drag these Celtics forward. And Hayward, same thing. It's like he played in a slow-it-down system for a long time. And he had Rudy Gobert behind him. He won't have that anymore. I think the Celtics system will suit him better. I expect a lot from Gordon Hayward, but some of that depends too on how Kyrie Irving adapts to playing in the new system, and how willing will he be to pass when he doesn't have LeBron James on his team? How willing will he be to be the key playmaker? And it's tough. I think it's tough. Keith asked about silencing critics by becoming more of a playmaker. I assume for Kyrie Irving, a lot of times silencing critics has just been scoring points, scoring more points. And that's always been enough. Now it won't be enough. He needs to do more. He needs to be different. We'll see. There's just a lot of unknowns. Before we get to the reigning junk, which we are going to get to, I just want to put a call out there. If anyone wants to advertise on the podcast, email us, lockedonceltics@gmail.com. We got a solid amount of listeners now. I think we got people who come, seem like pretty consistent listeners. I think it would be solid for like restaurants, bars. You could even do like real estate. I don't know what type of things you want to advertise. Anything. So email us, lockedonceltics@gmail.com, and give us money. Pay us money, man. Pay that man his money.
And I'm very willing to sell myself for money. I will shill for your product. even better if I enjoy your product. Like, I'm drinking some Miller Lite right now. It tastes great. It's less filling. Miller Lite, sponsor us.
Yeah, so Miller Lite, email lockedonceltics@gmail.com. We appreciate
it. That was just a freebie.
That was a freebie. I'm not a Miller Lite guy personally, but I can be for the right amount of money.
There you go.
All right, let's get to the rain and junk, man. I need to sit back and listen to you unload some junk.
All right, we got a lot of nonsense coming in using the hashtag raining junk. This is the summer junk segment. When it's the summer, I thought there'd be not a lot to talk about with all this Kyrie stuff. We clearly have a lot of time to fill, but we got some good questions on here. This is at Celtics_Mike. Woj just confirmed the deal is done at 10:23 p.m. Will Millie's make a new intro now? What do you think? I saw you talking to Millie's on Twitter earlier. I think it's time for a new intro because the Celtics are no longer waiting on the Nets pick.
The Cavs are waiting on the Nets pick, man. Yeah, so we talked to Millie's. We might have a new intro coming soon. For the time being, we're going to leave it because it's fresh, because it's hot, because shit, like that's my favorite part of every day is just listening to Millie's intro. But we might have the remix coming soon. Stay tuned. Millie's is in talks. We're in talks. We're in negotiations. So no longer receiving the Nets pick. It's crazy the Nets picks are now gone.
Done. Finally, that trade is wrapped up. I think Millie's is so good at freestyling that we could probably just call him up on Skype one day and he could just spit a few bars and it'd be good. It's going to be hard to top the, version one, but I'm excited to see what he can put out. Moving on. This is an odd question. I just don't know how to answer this. I'm going to spring it on you, Jay King. If Kyrie was part of a Celtic sandwich, what part would he be? That is from at Singing Bard or Matty Dubs.
What type of?
If he was part of a sandwich, what part would he be?
He'd be the bread, man. He'd be the bread, right?
The bread. I was gonna go with the meat, but sure, he's a main ingredient.
Yeah.
If you say he's the meat, Horford's the bread, and Gordon Hayward's the cheese, and the rest are just kind of fixins. See, that makes the most sense.
You're better with the junk questions than I am. I was just like, yeah, whatever. He can be the bread, and you put some thought into that.
I didn't put any thought into that. Is the real thing. I just started talking, and
but you got some real rationale to it, though.
Well, yeah, it made sense. It just that was obvious. This is from Jeremy Wolf at the Thinking JAR. This isn't even a question. It's just a link to a story. Kyrie Irving appeared in his high school version of Disney's High School Musical. So there's some personality. The thing about Kyrie Irving is he's like a real weird dude. he has the whole flat earth thing, and I still don't know if that was a goof or not, like if that was a joke.
I feel like he was just trolling with that.
It definitely feels like he was trolling. Like, he's often described as a guy who, like, marches to the beat of his own drum. I'm excited just to kind of see, trying to learn more about who he is. I feel like him and Jaylen Brown are going to have some, like, really weird conversations about space and Copernicus and, like, the stars and science.
Oh,
I think it's going to be – I think if that's where the identity of the team has come out. Someone asked me this when the trade first finally came down. Are the Celtics now going to be the nerdy team? Like, they have Gordon Hayward. They have Jaylen Brown. They have a bunch of guys from Duke. Are they just the nerds? Because normally – I don't think Marcus Smart normally puts up with many nerds. He's normally stuffing them into lockers, but they got a lot of nerds on the roster now.
A lot of nerds. That's a good – I think that's a pretty good point right there. Like, they do.
I'm asking Brad Stevens at Media Day if his team is a bunch of nerds.
And Brad's the king of the nerds, right?
Exactly.
Like, Brad is the president of the nerds. He's the nerd of all nerds. So – it's Nerd Central. Celtic. That might be their new identity. They went from, like, chip on their shoulder guys to just, like, flat earth nerds.
Terry Rozier and Marcus Smart are going to be so upset. Those guys like to have a good time and definitely don't hang with nerds, but it's going to be interesting to see what they come up with. I got a lot of conspiracy talk. One from Nate Wetmore and the other from just Problematic. Kyrie's a flat earther. What other Celtics are known conspiracy theorists? I don't know how to answer that question because I have no idea who else is on the Celtics or what they believe.
I bet Jalen's got some conspiracies.
That's another good Media Day question. I'm going to start writing these down. and the one from Nate Wetmore is, do Lacerdi were fired because they thought IT needed surgeries? Hashtag seize conspiracy theories. I like that one. That one makes a lot of sense in my brain.
Yeah, I doubt that's the real reason. But if it makes sense in your brain,
You need to jump on the junk part of this. This is nonsense. This is real. Just you're doing a little too much thinking here. Think. Just do less.
Less is more.
All right. Here's one for you from Arun Bond 75. Compare each Celtics to a Game of Thrones character.
Okay, this is a good one. And no spoilers, man. Keep the spoilers to yourself.
No, F that and the B. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones, we're recording this, Wednesday?
Like, Sam, come on. Sam.
No.
Sam.
No. I'm not going to go out of my way to spoil things. Winter is here, but
No spoilers, man.
Come on, bro.
All right.
You're still behind on Game of Thrones.
I would say Brad is Bran. Like, he's just all
he's
knowing.
The three-eyed raven. I need an image of Brad, like, with the weird, like, eyes, just, like, warging into a raven. That's a fire t-shirt right there.
Brad is definitely Brad.
He sees all the past, all the future. That's how he knows all those goddamn ATOs.
I think this isn't a perfect comparison, but Al Horford is Jon Snow. Like just
an unwilling leader, a guy who just leads by necessity.
He becomes a leader just because he always does the right thing. And people are like, we got to follow Al, even though he's not the loudest guy, even though he doesn't really want to be our leader. Like, he just always does the right thing. We trust him. So Al Horford, Jon Snow.
Gordon Hayward is Samwell Tarly because he's real into books and the nerdy things.
That's such a disrespectful comparison.
That's so slanderous and so mean to Gordon Hayward, who's like is like a very good basketball player, but I couldn't think of anything else. This is kind of a hard question because we really don't know what the identity of this team is. Like, who do you? No one really sticks out to me for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
I'd say Marcus Smart is the Mountain or the Hound, just the big dude who loves fighting. Probably more the Mountain, but he's also half dead, so I don't know. Terry Rozier.
No, Smart is Tormund.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Yes,
definitely. Wildling blood, 1,000% for Marcus Smart.
Yeah, Smart is definitely Tormund. Terry Rozier is Bron.
I was thinking
Bron. Like, just kind of like
swag for days.
Like, witty, lot of swag, and he's tough. And he's just like goes with the flow, but he's still tough. I'm going with Bron there. Who else we got? Who's Tatum?
That's a good question. I got nothing. I don't know anything about him except he likes St. Louis pizza.
He likes St. Louis pizza a lot, man. I kind of want to go to St. Louis and try some pizza. He really likes St. Louis pizza.
That's the only reason anyone would want to go to St. Louis. It's like you see an arch and then you try the pizza. I don't know. This question is tough. If anyone has like some better suggestions than us, let us know. We're just use the hashtag Raining Jays or Raining Junk. Tweet us your Celtics Game of Thrones crossovers because it's difficult. We don't know who this is. This is a question. I don't even think we have to answer it, but I just wanted to shout out Jackson Posey at Ace Hoops. Who would you most like to be made into a full-size cheese statue for your house? It doesn't mention like Celtics. It just says, who would you most like to be made into a full-size cheese statue for your house? And I'm going to add on, what kind of cheese?
I kind of want a Morris twin cheese statue, so I'm going with Marcus Morris, man.
Marcus Morris.
I need a
nice cheddar.
I will give him sharp cheddar. Sharp cheddar.
Sharp cheddar, Marcus Morris. All right, I think that's a solid choice. I'm going to go with the dancing bear in a nice pepper jack. I think that's the cheese statue I'm going for. Shouts to Ace Hoops for that. The most absurd question. That's the most ridiculous topic we've ever discussed on Rain Junk.
Yeah, that is some serious junk right there.
All right, that's gonna wrap it up for the junk. I don't know. Is there any other good questions? Or are we?
Anything else
you want to mention?
I just have one final note, and that is God bless Dick Vitale, man. Like. Dick Vitale coming flying in to the Celtics-Cavs saga with a report that his NBA sources told him the deal would get agreed to. And then the deal getting agreed to later that night. It was just awesome, baby, with a capital A. He's a PTP-er. Oh, man. I've always been a big, big Dickie V guy. And I've realized why people probably get annoyed by him. But the man is just always on. He always has enthusiasm. He just loves basketball. And it was the perfect, like, dumb thing for Dick Vitale to come flying in with news. And just, like, one of the dumbest weeks I could ever imagine. Like, like just the Cavs coming out saying that the guy they knew whose hip was injured, his hip is more injured than they thought. Maybe kind of dragging their new star point guard through the mud. And all for a 2020 pick. It was just a dumb, dumb week. Stupid week. And Dickie V just capped it all. Dickie V. Long live Dickie V. I love that guy.
Total diaper dandy. Shouts to Dickie V for being a newsbreaker. The only thing that could have made it better is if, like, the Woj tweets came 20 minutes after Dickie V. So it really was like he was the one breaking the news. But you're right. Anytime he can enter into the foray of Celtics news, I'm all for it.
Dickie V, man, just coming flying in with the most random news breaking of all time. Like, could there be anyone more random to come in with news? I don't think so.
Not that I can think of.
It was perfect. It was just perfect. And that's a good place to end. Everybody, search for Locked On Celtics wherever you listen to podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe to us. Listen to us. Still doing two times a week. We'll probably do that until, like, what, media day? And then we'll start up 5 times a week again. It's coming back soon. The season's coming soon. Less than 2 months now until opening night when you can first see Kyrie Irving against his former team, the Cavaliers. It's weird, man. It's a weird time for the Celtics. It's a weird time for the East. That opening night will be wild, but this podcast is over. We have overstayed our welcome here. We appreciate you listening. And we'll be back next time on the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
John Corrales. Locked on Celtics.